Thank you. I'm Claire. I'm compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. I actually did a two-way prayer this morning about this, and I said, can I really share on the promises, and who am I to offer any experience, strength, and hope? I then continued to write out some notes for what I'm going to say, and my higher power was saying, no, don't do that. I will give you the words. And the words started with, start with the responsibility approach, because this was kind of landed on me at the last moment, and I said yes, because I always say yes to service. And the responsibility approach of OA is always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. So absolutely, totally and utterly, I cannot say enough. I've got so much to have to give back to everything that I've been given. I've been given a miracle, and it's nothing short of a miracle. So this disease took over my life in every which way forms, round about at the age of 13 in 1993. I went to my first meeting, a sister fellowship. And I spent 29 years bouncing in and out of rooms of many different fellowships. I qualify for so many fellowships, it's ridiculous. And I heard the promises, and I did to them what I did to the rest of the big book. I deconstructed the big book. I scrutinized it like left, right, and center. Over the years that I was bouncing in and out of the rooms, and I decided in my diseased, ego-led wisdom, because I thought I was incredibly wise and clever, that every word was very poorly written, a work of fiction. I was judgmental, self-righteous, critical, really broken spiritually and emotionally. I was helpless, I was hopeless, resistant, and I had absolutely no faith that anything would ever be any different. I felt that this was my lot, my destiny, to eat, drink, and purge my way through life until mercifully, one way or another, and it would be one way or another, one of my addictions would ultimately kill me. And that would come a sweet surrender. But I kept coming back, and I kept coming back, and I kept coming back, and I kept coming back. And there's a language disclaimer here. So one evening in our mother fellowship, an old timer, this was like a light bulb moment in my recovery. An old timer took me aside. Please excuse the language, but I'd like to devote to quote him verbatim. He said to me, Claire, you know this keep coming back thing? Well, forget that. Just stop fucking leaving. Get yourself in here, superglue your backside to the seat and stay. And I took that completely to heart. And then I started at that point to listen and to observe. And I saw recovery. I could see it in other people. I didn't believe it in myself. I still doubted any of these people could possibly have been in such a deep, dark, humiliating and degrading place that I've been in. Wasn't I special and different? Possibly one of those unfortunates. And then 7 years ago, I was in a treatment center, and they gave me an assignment to find out what is hope. That just like blew my mind, just like, really? So I went out and I interviewed every single staff member and every single one of my peers in the treatment center. So like over 50 different versions of what people thought hope was. And I came to the conclusion at the time, there is no such thing as hope. That same treatment center sent me to OA after I got honest about my food behaviours. And I went to OA and I was less sceptical and felt way more powerless, because I was just like, I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea where to go. Something I'm doing is not working. I thought I had all the answers. It turned out I had none. I found a sponsor and I worked the steps, and somehow, somewhere, things really did begin to change. And I do not know at which point it did. I know they kind of started around step 9, but I would say it was probably around step 12 where I actually realized, shit, this stuff actually does work. So I'd like to move on to the most miraculous part of this, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development. Emphasis on painstaking. I dropped in and I dropped out, and I just paid lip service to this program in different fellowships. And I scrutinized it, and I was judgmental, and I thought I knew a better way. Yeah, my way had really worked for like 29 years. Yes, obviously. I'm on the verge of dying. And yes, so my way is not working. We'd be amazed before you're halfway through. Some of them started coming to true for me around about step 8, 9, I suppose. Actually, no, I would say around about 6 and 7 when I started to realise what my defects were. But the whole knowing new freedom and new happiness, I never knew a freedom or a happiness. I didn't have that. I didn't have that experience. I didn't know what freedom, I didn't know what happiness was. It's not a new one, it's a brand new freedom and happiness. And that was there. All of a sudden, that was there. Not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. Step 9, absolutely. My step 9 amends were just, they went unbelievably well. They were painful, they were difficult. Some of them made me cry, some of them made me angry, some of them made, I had to work through some resentments after some of those amends. But I didn't want to shut the door on it. I didn't want to turn around and ignore it anymore. Comprehend the word serenity and no peace. I don't believe that, other than the last couple of years, I've ever known any kind of peace in my life. I've always been on like major alert, on hypersensitive, looking out for when's the next crisis, going from crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis. And that's been like the way that my life's gone since a very, very young child. It's just like looking out for who's going to be the next person who falls into a crisis, and how can I rescue them? Now I know there's a possibility I can reach out and help them. I can't rescue them, and that gives me an element of serenity that it's not my responsibility to rescue people. It is my responsibility to reach out and offer whatever I can do. I can offer an ear to listen. I'm not going to step in and try to solve their lives for them, which is what I tried to do when I was younger. I love this one. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and yet gain interest in our fellows. This came to me after step 12. I went through my step 12 with my sponsor and I said, now what? And she said, well, you know now what? And I'm like, okay. So that means when I put my name and number into the chat, this now means that I have to put available to sponsor next to it. And that scared the life out of me. It literally terrified me. I thought, how on earth have I got any kind of experience, strength and hype and any kind of like knowledge and like to guide somebody through the steps? And so after that step 12, I went straight to a step 1 meeting, and it was a workshop meeting. So there were Q&A's. So I asked the host who was answering the questions. I said, I've just finished my step 12. Now what? And he said, you're in a step 1 meeting. That's the good way to go. Do you have a copy of the big book? Do you have experience, strength and hope? Are you in recovery? Yes, yes and yes. That's all you need. That is all you need. And 2 people in that meeting reached out to me because I said I was absolutely terrified of sponsoring. And because I expressed my vulnerability, I think it's because I expressed my vulnerability that they reached out to me and asked me to sponsor them. self-seeking will slip away. Absolutely. Everything about my life. Thank you, Carol. Everything about my life, even though I didn't think it was self-seeking, even though I convinced myself in my diseased mind that I was being altruistic, it was just codependency. There was always an underlying motive to my actions. If I did something good for you, it's because I want something good back. It was always self-seeking. That isn't the case now. That is not the case now. I will freely reach out to people, not expecting anything back. In fact, I'm surprised now if people say thank you to me, and it kind of surprises me. Like, why would you say thank you? It's just something I do now. A whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. I struggle with this one because I don't actually see all of the time the changes in me. But I hear from my fellows who have known me over the last couple of years in footsteps when I first came in and see the changes that have happened. And I have to listen to that and I have to believe that, because my disease wants to tell me you haven't changed. You're just the same vulnerable, effed up pile of crap that you were a few years ago. Nothing's changed. That's what my disease wants me to believe. That isn't true. That's not the truth. The truth comes from people who can witness that I have changed. And I feel it in myself, but I can't cognitively get my head around it. Fear of people. Oh, that's the big one. Fear of people. When I was very, 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 very young, in fact, as far back as I can remember, I had a huge fear of people, other than my mum and dad, and they were the only two people. So I'd be around like my family, like my immediate family, and somebody would ask me a question, and I'd have to run to my dad, run to my mum, grab hold of them, and say, "Answer this question, please. I can't answer the question. I'm paralysed. I could not speak." And this is to my cousins, to my aunties and uncles, to anybody. Now I can speak to complete strangers. I can reach out to them. And I do not know how or when that happened, but it happened. And this is the whole intuitively now how to handle situations that used to baffle us. I have absolutely, literally no idea how or why these promises happened, but I can tell you they bloody well happened. And all I did about it was I kept coming back. I worked this program rigorously. And God is definitely doing for me what I could not do for myself. I step up for said this. I'm sat here in a meeting of 38 people and I'm sharing. A couple of years ago, this would have been completely unheard of. This was just like an impossibility, never going to happen. I handed it over and I said, is it possible that I can do this? And the answer was yes, you can do this. My dad died recently, and that I thought that would be like the one thing that I could never survive. I thought, when that happens, that's your rock. He's gone. You're never going to be able to cope with this. For some reason, I threw myself into service, handed it over, and I prayed about it, and I shared about it, and I had all the support in the world from the fellowship, and I got through it. And now I'm sat here. I'm not in relapse. I haven't sacked off the meetings. And that is not me. I'm not capable of doing that for myself. So it's the God of my non-understanding, by the way. I don't have a particular understanding of my higher power. I just know that there is something, and there must be, because left to my own devices, I would have died 1,000 times over. But I've been rescued by something that's bigger than me. For whatever reason, I'm still yet to find out. So that is God of my non-understanding, doing for me what I could not possibly have done for myself. I was so hopeless. I was so helpless. And to know that I now have hope, and I have focus, and I have direction, and I have a passion for what I'm doing in life right now.
It's 5 minutes, Claire.
Thank you, Carol. Just all of that stuff is just a complete and utter miracle. And a few years ago, I would have sat there and I would have said, all of this is a load of bullshit. This is never going to happen for me. Might happen for the rest of you. That's fine for the rest of you. But I'm special and different, and it's never going to happen for me. So, I'm kind of running a little bit dry now on here. Still more and more and more is being revealed. The Night Step promises for me have every single one of them come true. But at that point where they've come true and I'm like, wow, how did that happen? And then a little bit more will be added, and a little bit more will be added. So more and more and more is being revealed. But I'm very aware that without constant vigilance, that's the word, I can lose much of what this incredible, amazing program has given me, because my disease does continue to sit out in the car park doing push-ups and lifting weights and running on the treadmill and getting itself real fit and healthy to strike every time I put my guard down. Every time I sat in a meeting, is out there doing that workout. So in closing, I'm going to say, as well as scrap, keep coming back and don't effing leave, I also scrapped in my head, don't leave before the miracle happens. And I stick completely and utterly wholeheartedly to don't leave even when the miracle happens, because more and more happens. It just gets better and better. And I think I'm going to leave it there. Thank you, guys.